Matthew chapter 18, and this is lesson 58 in the dispensational view of God's Word, rightly divided. And we left off with verse 14, but we're going to be reading down chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again, I say unto you, that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that thou shalt ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Father, we do thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. What I just read, or what we just read, is the fact that the Lord is demonstrating and teaching that little flock on how to handle problems that arise in the midst of them. Okay, many of us can look at that and say, hey, that's a good model for today. If we don't agree, send your preacher, you know, or send yourself first. And then if he don't come around, then we grab a couple people from the church and go over there. And then if he don't come around, just come bring it from the church and say, church, this is what it is. And then what did it say to do? Treat him like a heathen and a publican. That's a tax collector, if you will. But anyway, he's the flock to handle the problems. If bad offends, go to your brother and vice versa. If I do you wrong, I should go. That's a good, you know, to me, that's a good thing. You know, if me and you don't agree, we should go at least try. But the man don't want to listen. And if I don't want to listen, that's a different story. Okay? If he does respond, you want a friend. If he doesn't, then go out and get witnesses. Then go back to the brother. With me? Say, hey, we're going to bring witnesses because it's not about me and you now. It's about the church, if you will. And if he still won't respond, then you take it to the church assembly. And if he still won't respond to that, according to that church, then treat him as a heathen and put him out of the church. That's what they did, Israel did, in the kingdom church. If they responded like a heathen, a lost person, then you sent them out. You know, that's hard, ain't it? You think about it. You know, but that's what it's said to do in the kingdom program. The Lord lets them know that whatsoever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. And whatsoever is loose on earth is loose in heaven. They got power, don't they? They got agreement. And we should know that by now. He told them in Matthew 10, he told them about, you know, go ye preach the kingdom of heaven and on earth. You know, that type of thing, in a way that they have the authority. This is what this is about, authority. And they decided based on the following the above instructions and will be honored by in heaven. So if they agree with this, then it's honored in heaven. In other words, giving them authority in the church to act in the Lord's stead during his absence. Because right now the Lord is their leader, aren't they? The Lord is their master. The Lord is their rabbi. The Lord is Lord. He's not King of Kings yet. He's not the King of Israel yet. Because if you notice also already, he's being rejected. He's from Matthew chapter 11, 12, 13, on up this way, he's being rejected by the nation. So he's not the king that they're looking for, but still he's their leader. You know what a quorum is? A quorum. Do you know what you use them for?
Carry a vote.
Carry a vote? You go in a board meeting, don't you? Okay, I've been plenty of part of a board, and they would be like if there's 12 of us on that board. And if everybody wasn't there, you still had to have a quorum to conduct business. And I watched as this would go about to say there was 5 of us there. There couldn't be no less than 5. If one person left, you couldn't do business again. That's what this is. When 2 or 3 agree, like verse 20, for where 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. That's a quorum. And that's what he's saying. You take those people there to that brother and you conduct business there in your church. You with me? Now, many boards are that way. I just know when I was part of a board, I was a chairman of the board. And there was a time that according to our Constitution, I couldn't vote unless I made the quorum up, that type of thing. Otherwise, you guys voted, I'd just sit back, that type of thing. But it's very, very important to know that whatsoever, verse 18, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever she shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Does that sound familiar about anything?
Give me an example.
Yeah.
Okay, example. Look at this. Galatians chapter 2. I'm glad you said that, Walt. Galatians chapter 2. Now, these guys, Peter, James, and John, had the authority of God Almighty on this earth. He gave it to them. And he's what we're looking at in verses Matthew chapter 17 and 18, Lord Jesus Christ is instructing the little flock what to do and how to conduct himself in the absence. Because what did we find out in Matthew 16:21? From this time forth he must show that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer at the hands of the Gentiles and die and bury, rose again the third day. He's no longer going to the throne. And that's one thing we got to think in our mind when we read this. The Lord Jesus Christ is no longer going to the throne of David to be the rightful heir. He's going to the tree as the son of Abraham. He's going to die. And he's going to leave that little flock, which is going to remain here. You with me? And what they're going to really need this for is over there in ages to come. And he's preparing them right here. And if you think about this, I'm going to close this up for a second. If you think about this, when Lord Jesus Christ dies and buried and rose again, he tells them in Matthew chapter 2, he's going to go and he's going to give them power and you're going to be able to raise the dead. And whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. And whatever you let loose on earth is let loose in heaven. It's just the authority of letting them know that communicating that, hey, I acknowledge what you're doing, Peter, James, and John. And whatever you do down here, you have the authority and you have the blessings of the Father in heaven. Okay? When he comes back right here, he allows them 1 year. And we're going to look at this shortly about the fact that Father forgive them. And he allows them 1 year. And Peter has the authority, has the keys of the kingdom, and has authority to bind and let loose. We understand that, don't we? Well, I can forgive you, and it's forgiven in heaven. I don't have to forgive you, it's not forgiven in heaven. That type of thing. He has the authority. Whatever he does here on earth is the same thing as in heaven. For 1 year. And we'll look at this later on because I just want to get your mindset. This is 1 year from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7. And Peter says it's the last days of what? What would you think those last days are? Of prophecy. The Pentecost has been fulfilled. The last day. And this is lining them up for this over here. And when you get into Hebrews, Hebrews starts where this leaves off. Hebrews explains to the Hebrews that's going through this tribulation period, not what happened to the grace life of Romans through Philemon. It's picking up the fact what Acts chapter 1 through 7 is doing. Now, I know it's kind of hard right now, but it's not if you just relax and think about this period. Peter is preparing the little flock for the last days before the tribulation period comes. Put it that way. Yeah. Hebrews picks up in that tribulation where Acts left off and explain them, hey, you're here. This is the last days. You're in it. Talking to the Hebrews. But what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. I told you, turn to Galatians chapter 2. This is a good example of what Peter had the authority of on this earth. In Galatians chapter 2, and Galatians chapter 2 goes along with Acts chapter 15. There's a council going on in Jerusalem. There are people, Acts 15, I'll read it to you. Well, look at Acts 15 for a second. Hold your finger there in Galatians. Go to Acts 15. Acts 15, verse 1. And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be. Ooh. Now, did they add something to the cross? Now, if you don't think that's going on today, you're fooling yourself. Because people add stuff to the cross every day and think they're saved, and they're not saved. And you can say circumcision, you say baptism, you say church membership, you can put anything in that. And they said, wherefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissensions and distribution with them. So what does that tell you? No small. They had a big dissension about it, didn't they? They had a big upset that, hey, you're going, coming there and telling my people that I got saved in Galatians, that you're saved by faith through for Jesus Christ plus nothing else, and you're wanting them to be circumcised. You want them to keep the law of Moses. Does that sound familiar? Many of us have been in that religion, haven't we? You got to keep the Mosaic law. Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, God through Paul says, verse 1, that 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me, I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that the gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them that which were of reputation, lest by means I should run and had run in vain. He's talking to Peter now. They're of reputation, aren't they? And he privately met with them. Then he says, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be what? Circumcised. Now, what did you read back here in Acts 15? Unless you keep the commandments of Moses and be circumcised, you can't be saved. And because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privately to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. To whom we gave place of subjection. No, not for an hour. Paul didn't give these guys any leeway or anything. He stood his ground. That the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seem to be somewhat, well, whosoever they are, it maketh no matter to me. God accepts no man's person. Sorry, truck drivers. We know God's with us every day when we're out there on the road, but no, He's still with your wives and kids and grandchildren. Anyway, just joking. Inside joke there. Except no man's person, for they who seem to be somewhat in conference added what? Nothing to me. Now, these people who seem to be somewhat added nothing to Paul. You should be the same way when it comes to this gospel compared to that kingdom gospel. Now, look at this. But contrariwise, When they saw the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed to me as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter, go to verse 9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars. Now that word right there kind of makes you think about something, don't they? Makes you think about, hey, what's going on with Peter, James, and John that they seemed to be. Not that they were. They seemed to be. Pillars perceived that the grace that was given unto me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen and they unto who? So what did they do? What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you let loose on earth is let loose on heaven. They acknowledged Paul. And with the authority that Peter and them had, acknowledged what Paul was doing and gave them, that's it.
Yeah, you go to the Gentiles.
That's how powerful that binding and loosing is. And it was going on. Now, if Paul and them acknowledged that, why can't we acknowledge it? If Peter, James, and John acknowledged that Paul had the gospel of the uncircumcision, it was going to the heathen, and they agreed on it, why can't we in a religious world today acknowledge the fact that Paul is the apostle of the grace, apostle to the Gentiles, and he's got a different message?
They teach the book of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John belong to them.
As Dan said, they're in error. They're blinded. They won't see this. Go back to Matthew 18. That's how powerful that is as an illustration. Now, you and I, we talked about this time and time again. That, you know, you guys are a little bit younger than me sitting in here, so I'll share some things with you. That when we used to be, I'll see you at 1 o'clock. You shook on it, and that was all it said. I didn't need 15 texts. I didn't need 13 phone calls. I expected you there. You expected me there at 1 o'clock. That's the powerful of binding and sharing the word. And that's the way we should be, isn't it? You know, that's the way we should teach our kids that. Hey, let your words mean what they say and say what they mean. They did here. Let's shake on it. Go to Matthew 18. So it's very, very powerful to know that, look at this, Matthew 21. Matthew 21. Verse 22. Matthew 21 and verse 19. Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree. Now, how many people have used that in the past? Boy, if we disagree on this, it's going to happen. You hear that in churches all the time, don't you? Matthew 21:22, and all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Now, my driveway's not paved yet, guys. What's going on? Aren't y'all agreeing with me? Let's get together right now. That little Dodge truck that Rogers helped me fix, you know, it's becoming a pain, isn't it? We need to agree on something, either burn it or get it fixed. But you know what I'm talking about? This has to do with authority on this earth and Matthew in his absence. It don't have nothing to do with you and I today in a dispensation of grace. It has to do about a kingdom authority in his absence. Matthew 18, verse 21 and 22. Then came Peter to him. Now, after he just explained about authority, about a quorum, and about binding and letting loose, right? Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? It's a question mark there, isn't it? Seven times, that's a lot of forgiveness, isn't it? Verse 22, Jesus said unto him, I say not until thee, until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Whoa. You know what that is? A lot, isn't it? How much? 490. Does that ring a bell? But before we get there, Peter wants to know how many times he should forgive an offending brother. Look, forgive, forgiveness. Verse 21, forgive. See that? Forgive him. Look at verse, in that same chapter, look at verse 27. The Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him that debt. Look at verse 32. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgive thee all. Look at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not another every. See, forgive, forgive. How many times should I forgive you? It's all through that passage, isn't it? The Lord answers 70 times 7. Now, how much did you say it was? 490 years. That's a typical reference in the Bible of Israel's prophetic time period. It's very, very important to know about 490 years. And it's on this time schedule. And I've got a handout. I'm not going to give it to you right now, but it's sitting over there if you want one that shows about the 490 years, and it's especially true in the time period of the 70th week of Daniel. And then the last days. That's what he's talking about. He's preparing for them in his absence. He's preparing for them that when you're going to forgive them, you're going to forgive them 490 years. And this chart, I'll just show it to you right here. This is Charles Larkin's stuff. Many of you have it. But this right here, you don't have to go chasing books after books after books. He lays it out just as wonderful. 490 years from Abraham's birth of Abraham to the Exodus. Long time, isn't it? Then it's 490 years from the Exodus to Solomon's temple. Then it's 490 years from Solomon's temple, the dedication of the temple, if you should say, to the Edict of Artaxerxes. Now, you can look at that word like I did and learn how to spell it like I did and say it like I did. But it has to do with the Persian kings and rulers of this stuff. 490 years. Okay? Then there's 490 years of the edict to the second coming of Jesus Christ. There's time period 1, 2, 3, 4 of this. Now, there's many years within that. Like when they was in rebellion, say 70 years, God don't count that. This is only time when they're in God's favor. But that chart's over there and would help you immensely if you look at that.
So, you're saying then 490 years, we'd have known when he was coming back, but being that he put it on hold that 490 years then, it's that?
Well, 490 years right here, of when they tore the temple down into this thing, then it's 7 years B.C., then 480 years to the crucifixion right in here. Then this part right here, the dispensation of grace, is not in there.
Right.
Okay?
So the 490-year prophecy he's talking about, the second coming, is put on hold then.
There's 7 years, 1 week right here, yeah. This is, yeah.
So he says 490 years.
From right here to right here.
So then.
7 weeks.
My goodness, we've already passed that. So.
If you count this, but you don't count this. That's why I say
so
when you.
It's put on hold.
Yeah.
That's what you're. Okay, that.
Yeah, and that's over 1900 years right here.
That's 2000 years right there, yeah.
See, you can't count that because it's not in the prophetic program. But that last week, that's why I say, what he reference here mainly is this last week of 662 weeks, and 69 weeks will be determined upon thy people. Then there's 1 week left, that's right here. And the whole week is wrath. Now I know people believe, oh, it's only this part is wrath. The whole week is wrath.
Weeks of years, that's 7 years.
Okay, that type of thing. Now, many of you know this terminology. Praise God, hallelujah. But if you want that chart, it's over there. And it has to do with the last day, 70 times 7. They're going to do a lot of forgiving over here. They're going to have to do a lot of forgiving, that type of thing. And if you don't forgive, then I don't forgive. Let's move on to 18, chapter 18. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a king, which would take account of this of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife, and his children, and all he had, and the payment to be made. Sounds like Sally Mae if you got a student loan right now. They want everything. The servant therefore fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him from the and forgave him of his debt. That's nice, isn't it? But at the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat. Oh, my. Here's a man that... he owed $10,000 to, if you want to put it that way, and he took a guy to a throat with for $10. You better pay me by the throat, saying, pay me what that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, I will pay thee all. And he would not. But when he was cast, and he cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when the fellow servants saw what he had done, they were very, very sorry. They were very sorry, and he came and told unto their Lord all that he had done. Now he went to told the guy that he owed 10,000 talents to. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on a fellow servant, even if I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till that he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not another one of his brothers their trespasses. That's how important it is for this kingdom program. They're going to lose, what are they going to lose? Rewards over here. They're going to lose physical things over here. And the Lord gave, and when he gives the illustration of the kingdom, a rich ruler forgives a big debt, does he not? Just to recap that, of his servant. But that same servant would not forgive a small debt. That's someone he owed. In fact, he tries to destroy him. And the rich ruler finds out about the servants, and he forgave, forgive the others. And the rich ruler was wroth and delivered the servant to pay in all torment. See how it was trickling down? You know, hey, you forgave me. You know, then somebody owes me money. Maybe I should forgive them or give them a chance to pay. He didn't really so much forgive the debt. He said, hey, just give me some patience and be patient with me. I'll pay you. Well, most time when, you know, you get them phone calls about, hey, you're 30 seconds late, you know, what are you going to do? I'm like, wait a minute, where's the grace period here? That type of thing, you know, many of them want their money and they'll cut you off right then and there. The practical lesson to learn, if much is given, much is expected in return. That's what it is. If much is forgiven, then much is in return. The doctrinal message is in regards to Israel there. It don't apply to you and I. It applies to Israel in his absence and about what they're going to do over there. The nation Israel has a tremendous debt that they cannot repay with all their sins and the ultimate crucifixion of their Messiah. They have a national sin debt to pay for. That's why this wrath is coming on them. That's how serious it is. And the Lord Jesus Christ, and on the cross, what did Jesus Christ say? He prayed to them. He said, Father, forgive them. And you know what God the Father did? He forgave them.
Right.
He forgave them for, you know, Father, forgive them, for they know what they do. He forgave them. You know, he forgave us. All the sin debt, you know, this morning Jack mentioned about the cup of fury and all, and the wrath of God that's going to pour out. And Jeremiah and Revelations and Ezekiel talks about the cup of fury, that all the thing that God Almighty is going to pour out on the wrath of man and on this earth deservingly. Not mercy and grace, deservingly. And he poured it out on his son. You know, to me, that should make your inner man just, you know, jump up, well, praise God, hallelujah. I deserved that. I deserved hell. I deserved death and torment. But by the grace of God, by putting my faith in what he did at Calvary, I'm saved from that wrath to come. He don't promise us that wrath through this message of grace. And Jesus prayed, Father, forgive them. And in the book of Acts, Israel has a renewed opportunity from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 to be forgiven. And the little flock went preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and the nation Israel, you got to remember, he had that little flock. He's teaching that little flock in Matthew, isn't he? And he's preparing that little flock because the nation Israel as a whole is rejecting him and tormenting him. And that's what Jesus Christ said, if you pick up your cross and follow me, little flock, he's fallen in rejection. It's not that you're going to be nailed to a cross. It's the fact that, hey, you're following, if you're going to follow Jesus Christ, you're following him in his rejection. And he, that little flock amongst all the believers there, or unbelieving Israel, God dealt with Israel nationally. It was a commonwealth. That's why he kept doing this. And even though there's people being saved, he still had, that national Israel has a sin debt. That little flock is done paid for. And in Acts chapter 1 through 7, Peter is offering the kingdom to Israel as forgiveness. Okay? And he's preaching and persecuting them, the nation Israel, tremendous, and was not sorry. That's why in Acts chapter 2, Peter stands up with the Holy Spirit and starts quoting Joel and quoting David. And people was convicted. And he said, what shall we do in Acts chapter 2? And what did Peter say to do? Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. That ain't no different than what John the Baptist preached, or Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same gospel. It's a gospel of the kingdom. And now it's being offered to them. And then in Acts chapter 3, he goes to them nationally. He said, you did it ignorantly, but they was not sorry. And when they stoned Stephen, you've got to remember, Lord Jesus Christ said, Father, forgive them, for they know what to do. He said, if you blaspheme against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven you. But if you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven you in this world or the world to come. It didn't say nothing about this world. You with me? He's talking about over here. And in the second coming, God will inflict on the unbelieving nation torment until that debt is paid. Now, you think how merciful God is there. He's not. See, he came riding on an ass.
Yeah, that's right, because you know how you can prove what you just said there about that wrath, it passed up the grace period and come into coming into tribulation by the fact that a Jewish man was forgiven who did kill one of the prophets, Stephen.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
And then the little flock in that day, yeah, is to forgive until the end.
So if you can't commit to, you can't, and under dispensation of grace, you're forgiven from everything.
That's why in Acts chapter 9, the chief of sinners, the one who was prosecuting that Jewish believers, he says, I'm a blasphemer. Now, what did Jesus Christ said? If you blaspheme against the Holy Spirit,
can that be forgiven?
Who, when they stoned Stephen, if you know your Bible, who was at the feet?
Paul.
Okay? And Paul and God, in the dispensation of grace and body of Christ, he forgives others as reason why we forgive each other. It's not to gain anything. We forgive others because Christ has forgiven us.
Right.
See, that's different. But that little flock right there, I forgive till the end. They're getting their heads cut off. I forgive you. they're getting their hands cut. I forgive you. That's hard, isn't it? But they do it. They have to do it to the end. But that sin debt that God's Almighty, when He came here, we'll see this as we move towards Jerusalem. He came here on a little colt, and I shared this with a couple of you this week. What's the only animal in the Bible that's redeemed? And they take you say horse? I think you said horse too, didn't you? And you say a lamb? It takes a lamb to redeem this animal. And I know there's many dog lovers in here. Sorry, guys. And it's in Ezekiel 13, Exodus 13:13. It tells you this. It's an ass. It's a donkey. That animal is redeemed by blood of another animal. That's the only animal it is. What does the Lord Jesus Christ come in on? He's coming in on the animal that's being redeemed by that blood of lamb, and He's going to redeem that. But what does He come back over here on? With fire and vengeance. He's coming back to raise Cain. Not the Cain of the Bible, but He's coming back with fire and vengeance. And lightning and fire is going to come out of His eyes. And you know what? If you follow me on this, I know you will. How many pictures of the devil have you seen?
Too many.
Okay. You're not looking at one now, believe me. But I'm just saying, what are the pictures of the devil? Fire and ugly and stuff coming out of his eyes and mean and holding a pitchfork, right? That's what the Lord Jesus Christ coming back with a pitchfork in his hand. So these people over here believing that lie, what are they going to say? Hey, he's the devil. Better stay away from him, because the Antichrist is sitting on that throne, convincing others he's God, and he's the devil. See how to counterfeit this stuff's going on? You know, it's to me, I look at a lot of that stuff, and we have an opportunity to teach it the right way. When John the Baptist said, "Whose fan is in his hand?" When he got baptized in Matthew 3, you know what that fan is? Remember them old pitchfork things that look like this? Not the 3-foot fan. That's a fan. And he picked up them grain and the chaff fell and the real stuff went in the garner.
Right.
And that's what he does over here. He picks up and he ciphers through that unbelieving nation Israel, and he picks up the people that believe that message over here and he puts them right in the kingdom. Everything else would burn up. Aren't you glad today that you don't have to go through that? I mean, to me, just to understand that God Almighty, and that through our pattern, Paul, and the dispensation of grace, we do not have to go through that. And that right there, my friend, you don't have to be through no raft. He saved us from the raft to come. Father, we do thank you for the day. We thank you for the things you've given us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.